Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for No Sleep Till, show dedicated to discussion involving the Jacksonville Jaguars. Travis Ryer alongside Evan Ryer. It is NFL Draft Eve, Ev. I'm not in Wisconsin, as you can tell from my setup here. I'm at Party Girl right there in the Avenel district of Duval. Man, so many good smells going on in here right now. You know,
I can only imagine, and I haven't eaten lunch yet, so you're going to make me very hungry.
Got that Party Girl chicken salad ready to go, and the party starter herself, she did a Yentl soup with bacon for today. Mm. Yeah, savory as it gets, Ev. And speaking of savory, you can smell what the NFL is cooking, right? You got the NFL draft set to take place up in Green Bay, starting tomorrow, going through Saturday. We're going to do our seven-round mocks, 3.578. You know, we'll call it something like that, Ed.
Yeah. No, it's one of the most exciting weeks of the year. You know, I mean, besides all the other sports going on, having the NFL draft is always really, really fun. One of my favorite things to do is just sit around all day on Saturday and just, you know, watch the guys get drafted. But tomorrow is going to be really exciting too. I mean, there's still some question marks on, you know, not just who the Jags are going to select, but who the teams in front of them are going, who they are going to select. So I think there's still, you know, a little bit of uncertainty. I don't know if it's exactly clear cut, especially what those first five picks are going to be.
Are you buying into the Ashton Jeanty momentum right now as we get closer to the draft? The outstanding running back from Boise State, man, Vegas is trying to tell us it's going to be Ashton Jeanty to the Jags at number five.
That would be a lot of fun. I mean, Jeanty is obviously really talented, really fun to watch. You know, I mean, clearly an elite running back prospect. I mean, how long has it been really since we've heard, like, you know, what was the last running back selected in the top five? I can't really remember. It might have been Zeke.
Trent Richardson.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's been a minute. So, well, I think Jeanty is a great player. And I think, you know, I could definitely see a situation where he could crush it on the Jags and be a big asset. I'm not fully buying into it. I think Mason Graham is still the guy that, you know, I would anticipate them taking. But, you know, if Vegas is saying it, you know, that becomes a little more, you know, even if you're fairly certain, you get less certain because they know stuff we don't. So
as we move into our first round mocks, you are going with Mason Graham, it sounds like, there in the five spot. You don't have a trade there or anything like that. You think the Jags stand pat and draft at five and go with the defensive tackle from UM?
Yeah, I did get some trade offers in my mock draft simulation, but nothing that I felt like was going to actually be able to move the Jags. There was just not enough resources being offered. And also, you know, the middle of the round spots. Oh, hold on. Sorry.
It's all right.
Pardon me.
Adam Schefter.
Yeah. No, Evan Schefter. Breaking news. Jags have confirmed. Those middle picks, there's definitely some guys that, you know, if they were to fall out of the top 10, I think would be really great value at like 15, 16, 17 or something like that. But that's the only areas I was getting trade offers from, like the Cardinals and things like that. So it just didn't seem like it was that much of a benefit to go back in this situation. So went with Mason Graham, which, you know, in terms of defensive line prospects, that's the best you're going to do.
I was Mason Graham. I was on the train up until the last few weeks, and I got some action for the Jags in round one, Evan. I got the Cincinnati Bengals getting the fever for either Ashton Jeanty or Will Campbell, maybe the offensive lineman out of LSU. And they came at me with a couple of extra picks in this draft, which I like because the depth of this draft is apparently a real, real strength of it. So give me more picks in this draft. I didn't want any 2026 picks, but I know the depth of this draft. If you want to give me a couple of really good picks, mid-round type picks to move up to five, even a second-round pick I think I got out of the Bengals in this deal, nice. Maybe early third. So I dropped down to 17, where I selected offensive guard Tyler Booker.
Roll Tide.
I took James Blackwell. I took Tony Baselli. I took Liam Cohen at their word in that they wanted to help Trevor Lawrence. They wanted to become more physical and more ground and pound in some ways, especially in that run game. So I got the big offensive guard for Alabama now. This is, again, number 17 overall. And I also got a deal with Arizona coming up a little bit later. So I ended up, I think, with 14 picks in this draft.
Dang, yeah.
When it was all said and done. So give me Booker there at 17 in the first round after the trade with the Bengals. Now, what about your second round pick, Ev? Tell us about that at number 36 overall.
Well, so this is the only trade of the draft I made, and I only moved back one spot. The Raiders offered to flip second round picks and then offer me a big jump from, I believe it was like the 172 pick or one, like went whatever pick that is, late in the fourth or early fifth, and then move all the way up to the 107. Yeah. So, you know, moving back only one spot, and you mentioned, you know, Baselli saying they're going to protect Trevor Lawrence. I went with Josh Connerly Jr. out of Oregon.
Like him. Yeah.
I like him a lot too. He does have some experience on the inside as well, but I mean, his overall size and athleticism, this is a tailor-made offensive tackle prospect. I think he's probably the best OL prospect. That's not like a first round kind of projected guy. So I was very happy to get him at the 37 spot.
Yeah. Maybe some versatility he can give you too, between guard and tackle even, I went Booker with the pure, more interior OL, although Booker has some tackle experience in his background. I like it, going big, going physical with your first two picks and Mason Graham and the big OL out of Oregon as well. Now with my second round pick, I'm going to keep helping Trevor Lawrence.
All right.
How about we go Luther Burden there in round two, the wide receiver from the University of Missouri. Burden, a big-time playmaker. I also worry at the same time that it could be boom or bust with him.
Yeah.
And we've seen it with wide receivers in the past. I think he's got some Calvin Ridley to him. But I'm going to go with a wide receiver, maybe a little early. But I like Burden there at number 36 overall. So, next up, Ev, where are you going with that third pick that you have for the Jags?
Yeah, the 70th pick, this is where I go tight end. I'm going Harold Fannin Jr. out of Bowling Green. May not be a big name for a lot of people, but it's worth noting that he led FBS pass catchers in total catches and receiving yards this past season, wide receiver otherwise. This is a tight end who had 117 catches, 1,555 yards, and 10 touchdowns. He also did fairly well against Penn State and A&M, Texas A&M, when they played earlier this year. This is a dude that's not going to be a blocking focused guy, but I think that's actually perfect for the Jags because they've got that. They've got three tight ends right now that have proven that they are very solid blockers, both in the run and in the pass, or, if that comes down to it. Fannin Jr. is kind of closer to an Evan Engram type, kind of replicating that. 6'3", 241, fast. I think this is a guy that, if you haven't heard about, it might not take this dude very long to get going and to kind of start making a name for himself in the NFL.
I like the complimentary aspect of Fannin, as you said, with Brenton Strange. So I'm going to go tight end at number 70 overall myself. But first, I had to fleece Arizona out of a second round pick. Arizona wanted to move up. So I got the number 49 overall pick. And with that pick there, going back into the second round, I'm thinking Xavier Watts, the safety from Notre Dame. Nice. How about that? Guy with a lot of production in terms of taking the football away, making plays on the football. I went with the safety there. I know there's been talk about corner with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm going to get to that at some point with all these picks I ended up accumulating here in this 2025 draft. But I went safety at 49, and then so at 70, I went tight end as well, Ev. I went Mason Taylor, the tight end from LSU. Yeah. My man crush for Mason Taylor, son of Jason, of course, all-time great. with the Miami Dolphins. Primarily, I like this guy a lot. I think he's a 10-year pro. If he stays healthy, maybe even longer. So I also went tight end at 70 overall. Mine is Mason Taylor, but I got the extra pick with Xavier Watts there at the safety position. And so that gets us into our next selection. Tell us where you're headed from there.
At 88, I am also I'm going back to offense and another pass catcher for Trevor, Aleik Ayomanor from Stanford. Again, not like a huge name in college football over his career, but Ayomanor has a very like interesting skill set. He's 6'1", 206, actually pretty fast for that size, and has a really, really impressive like catch radius and like ball skills and all that kind of stuff. Definitely, a work in progress. I mean, this is a guy being selected at 88, but he's definitely kind of an upside guy. You know, I don't think this is a dude that you can just kind of plug and play. He's definitely going to need to develop, but he is the type of dude that, you know, if you did have him at the 4 or 5 spot in your receiver group, you know, you could potentially get some big plays out of him early. He's just going to need a lot of fine tuning, a lot of polishing.
Kind of a common theme for us here. We're helping Trevor, but we're doing it more so at the receiver and the OL positions, not via Ashton Gentry. And by the way, I'm not anti Ashton Gentry. If the Jags go Ashton Gentry at 5, I won't have really any problem with it, because who has been screaming from the mountaintop since last season that you got to get a run game for Trevor Lawrence? Yeah. This isn't a carry the load, lift all boats type of situation, I don't think, with Trevor Lawrence, at least not to this point. Yeah. And I love the symmetry potentially of Ashton Gentry if you go there, because I've talked about Ryan Tannehill, and maybe ultimately that's what you got in Trevor Lawrence. But you know what Ryan Tannehill had? He had a all-time back to work with in Derrick Henry. You know where Derrick Henry was born, Evan? Right here in this area, right? You know where Ashton Gentry was born? Jacksonville, Florida.
I didn't realize that. I didn't know that yet.
So it would have been so much easier, right, for us to just bring this whole thing full circle with, you know, Gentry at 5'9 certainly isn't Derrick Henry at 6'11 or whatever Derrick Henry is. He looks like he's, you know, Wimby out there running around in the NFL. So I'm not totally opposed to that with Gentry, because I think you look at that and you say, well, you kind of went against what you said you were going to do, maybe with the offensive line. I think Gentry can be the kind of guy that can make an offensive line better, from the running back position. But that's kind of where this is kind of trending, I think, for both of us with the kind of direction we're going. And, you know, I've got an 88 pick selection coming up too. But first, I had to get the 81st pick. I think it was from Cincinnati, man. I can't even keep track of all this.
Yeah, no, you were dealing and dealing.
Yeah, I was getting after it. But I went DL at 81 with Omar Norman Lott, the defensive tackle out of Tennessee. He's explosive. He's disruptive. I'm hoping that I can get some Mason Graham-like qualities out of Omar Norman Lott at 81 instead of doing it at 5. And then at 88, I stayed with the defensive front, and I went with Kyle Kennard, the edge, out of South Carolina, coming off a big season working opposite of the outstanding true freshman Dylan Stewart. And how about some SEC so far, Ev? I've got Tyler Booker, Luther Burden, Xavier Watts, Notre Dame guy. But then I've got Mason Taylor, LSU, Omar Norman Lott, and Kyle Kennard. Those are all SEC guys.
Hey, it just means more. It just means more, you know. No, I mean, I don't hate it. You know, go for, you know, guys out of the most competitive conferences. Generally not a bad way to go. That's what's kind of weird about my draft is that it kind of avoids the SEC. We're kind of taking two different approaches.
Dave Caldwell. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Feel it. Dig it.
No, I don't have any Mount Union or St. Francis PA on this, but you know, Bowling Green, you know, that's a fairly small program in the grand scheme of things. So I guess I dug a little bit. But next up for me, I due to that trade with the Raiders in the second round, I ended up with the 107 and 108 pick back-to-back nice. Selection for the Jags.
Yeah. So
at 107, I am getting Trevor a running back, like we've been talking about. I'm going DJ Giddens out of Kansas State. DJ Giddens isn't like a production guy like some of these guys that I've drafted, mm-hmm. where you know it's about the stat line, but he is a very versatile, very quick guy. Kind of what Travis Etienne is supposed to be. He's
so he got that gear. He's got the same kind of gear. Wow.
Yeah. He's got serious speed. This dude right. can like, if there's a gap early in the block, I mean, he can hit that second yeah. level in a very, yeah. And then, also, a very well-proven, pass catcher. I don't, mm-hmm. you know, hate having another guy that you can potentially, do some, fun stuff with out of the backfield in terms of passing. And then right behind him at 108, I am finally going back to defense for the first time since, Mason Graham, taking Noel Williams, the corner out of California, 3,300 snaps played yeah. During his time in college. This dude has played everywhere too. He's played box safety. He's played slot corner, mostly outside though. And then worth noting that in 2024, he was a beast, seven interceptions, nine pass breakups, 535 coverage snaps. I mean, this is a guy that is, you know, it, you know, while his overall ceiling may not be super duper high, it's a guy that if you draft, I would anticipate him making the roster, even it coming in the fourth or fifth round, just because he is as polished as you're going to get, I think, for this point in the draft.
And I don't have a 107th pick because this was part of my wheeling and dealing with those Arizona Cardinals. I ended up moving back to 115 here. In the fourth round we are now.
I gotcha.
And with that, I went corner also. I went Jordan Hancock of Ohio State.
Nice.
Measurables guy, big time athlete, can really, really run. Versatility also in the defensive backfield. So give me Hancock from the national champion Ohio State Buckeyes. I do have pick 126. What about you?
So my next pick is also 126, and I went with another defensive tackle, but a guy that's pretty different from Mason Graham because CJ West out of Indiana is mm-hmm. more of a nose tackle than he is anything else. That being said, his measurables, his combine performance. Pretty dang impressive, and it kind of seems like he could be more than just a nose tackle. 4.95 speed, 1.73 10-yard split, and a 33-inch vertical. He's not going to be, you know, I don't think he's going to end up as like a zero tech or anything like that. But as like a nose tackle, I think that he could be really useful. The Jaguars need, you know, honestly, I think you have to draft multiple DTs in this draft. And CJ West is the second one I'm taking.
You know, I wasn't buying all the DL discussion in terms of Jaguar needs going into this draft. But when you do think as much about the future beyond 2025, yeah. it shows up more. And, you know, that's understanding that there's still hope for Mason Smith after last year's draft. They've got some young defensive linemen. We'll see. As much as anything, I don't know how they fit, not just in terms of scheme, but culturally and tangibly. Are they the kind of guys that the staff, this regime really want in the building on a day-to-day basis? That being said, if you leave a guy out there like Omar Norman a lot in the third round,
you got it.
And it's a deep, deep year for quality defensive linemen. I understand that. I'm probably going to still go ahead and take that guy, not just any guy, because there is that kind of depth. There is value, really. Man, you look at some of the mocks and some of these DLs going in the seventh round, it's like a two-round, three-round drop for some of these guys in some typical years. So interesting pick there now, as we have both addressed that defensive line for the Jaguars. Pick 126, I went running back. I know you did a couple of picks earlier. I'm going Dylan Sampson, the running back from Tennessee. Nice. Love the numbers he put up in 2024. in that Josh Heupel offense. The only thing I'm not sure about is really stylistically, is he the kind of back the Jags are looking for? He was workhorse-like. I think he was 250 carries right around there for the Vols last fall. Another thing I worry about, ball security. Put the ball on the ground few too many times. But again, when I think about where I'm going to be able to get this guy in a year in which it's not just Ashton Jeanty and a bunch of dudes at running back, there is quality depth at this position as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I like that pick a lot.
Where are we headed, Ev? Who you got next?
142. We are going to go back to the secondary. This is where I add a safety because, you know, when we did a mock draft recently, we talked about how we actually think the Jags should be taking safety, but it's at some point. I think you took Makuba as well as I did in some mock drafts that we've done. Obviously, I didn't get him here, but instead I'm getting RJ Mickens out of Clemson. This is a locker room pick. This is a dude that, you know, 5 years in college football, a lot of time at Clemson, became a leader in that locker room in Dabo Swinney's team. You know, he's got a, you know, a solid resume, a lot of good film. But I think what's most enticing about him is personality and just general demeanor. I think this is a dude that, like, kind of similar to Noah Williams, a lot of experience, a lot of reps. You know, and then on top of that, just kind of a professional maturity already kind of showing up when you hear people talk about RJ Mickens. So I was happy to be able to get him that late in the draft.
142. I went back to that offensive line. I went with Anthony Belton, the offensive tackle out of NC State. Feel like I addressed the interior offensive line with my first pick, and Tyler Booker wanted to bolster some things at tackle. This is about where the Jags went tackle last year, right?
Yeah.
About middle portion of the 2024 selection process. I'm going to go there again. I'm going with Anthony Belton, a guy who certainly, when you talk about physically and really as a pass protector, you don't hear this as much about young offensive linemen, but maybe more advanced there than he is even in terms of his run blocking ability, which that's going to have to improve because this is going to be, by all accounts, a more balanced approach, if not anything, maybe more tilted towards the run game, especially in terms of establishing things from the outset of games. But value, a tackle with these type of measurables and this sort of background about midway through the draft, I'm going to go with Anthony Belton right there. Who do you got next for us, Ev?
At 194, I'm also addressing the offensive line. But I'm going interior rather than exterior. I'm going Jonah Monheim, the center out of USC. Another really experienced dude, 3,100 career snaps. The thing to like about Monheim is his hands. His technical pass blocking is really impressive. He's not very strong, which is where, you know, it would be concerning. You talk about needing to be able to run the football. Monheim's strength is not as a run blocker. But I do like the idea of having a guy that, you know, you could potentially get stronger and already has the technique to pass block properly at the NFL level. So, you know, a guy that I think it would be a pretty, you know, 50-50 toss up on if he could actually make the roster if the Jags took him. But like I said, you know, you like that a guy has all the technical ability. He just needs to put on some weight. I think, you know, you can do that in NFL locker rooms. So
in their haste to move up, I took advantage of the Arizona Cardinals and the Cincinnati Bengals. And I ended up with picks 152 and 153 back to back. So here we go. Let's do it. Let's go. And with selection number 152 overall, I go back to that defensive line. J.J. Pegues, a very intriguing player, a guy at Ole Miss that was pretty much overshadowed this past season by Walter Nolan, and with good reason. Nolan had a hell of a year. He's a top, you know, top round type of guy. But I went Pegues, who's really athletic, kind of freakish in that way. This is a guy, too, Evan, that could help the Jags with their short yardage woes. I'm not talking about on defense either. I'm talking about on offense. Under Lane Kiffin, J.J. Pegues was a Wildcat quarterback for the Rebels and actually got stuffed a couple of times, as I recall, against the Florida Gators in Gainesville late in the season. But, again, at this point in the draft, a guy with that type of athleticism and that type of ability, give me J.J. Pegues. And then right after Pegues, I went back to wide receiver at 153. I went Isaac Tesla, wide receiver at Arkansas, played at a really lower level prior to moving on to Arkansas, but validated himself as a legitimate SEC wide receiver, big-time numbers. I like his size, too. I like the way he would fit into what we know right now about this Jaguars rotation, and that he's 6'3"-ish. 6'4"-ish, you know, he can be more that intermediate guy. We'll see what happens with Gabe Davis, but we know what they've done. We know what they've got. And Brian Thomas Jr., I'm going to add Luther Burden and now Isaac Tesla at the wide receiver positions. And now I'm finally to 182, Ev. And guess what? Here's a shocker for you. I'm staying in the SEC. I know you're stunned at this point with the way I've drafted, but I'm going to stay in the SEC. I'm going to go to Kentucky, and I'm going to take Jamon Dumas Johnson, linebacker from the University of Kentucky, previously of the University of Georgia. I think this is a point in the draft where if you've got a guy that has production to the extent that this guy has it, and also thinking maybe a little bit of a nod towards special teams, he could fit that bill as well.
Yeah, I like that. The pedigree, of course, of the SEC is always going to kind of speak to us, I think both. And, you know, I think that's really the first pick either of us have taken to address that area either.
Yeah.
So, which I will go ahead and spoil, I don't address that area. Maybe may have been a miscue on my part. So,
no, I think they're okay if they don't take a linebacker. I just, I'm a fan of this guy. So that's kind of the direction I went there with all these picks. I'm flush with picks, Ev. I mean, I've got like 37. Wheeling, and I have what James apparently likes in draft capital, as it's known. So tell us what you're thinking here, I guess, at 194.
Well, that was Jonah Monheim. Okay. Was the 194 pick. And then now I'm at the last pick of my draft, which is, I'll just go ahead and say, at 221. I'm going defensive line for a third time. Just peppering that defensive line. Simeon Barrow out of Miami.
Yeah, I like that pick. If he's there that late, that's what I'm saying, though, about some of these defensive linemen, man.
Yeah, I was surprised that he was there that late. It seemed like maybe the draft simulator was just drunk, you know, assuming that, you know, something happened. You know, Barrow got in trouble right before the draft, a la Laramie Tunzel. No, so yeah, I mean, that's a he's a huge upside guy. You know, has played a decent amount, but not quite as many snaps as some of these other guys that I've selected. But 6'1", 283, really athletic. Maybe a guy that, you know, can kind of flex in and out of the defensive line. You know, I like the idea of just getting as many prospects to address that area as possible. I know we kind of view it differently, but. I you know, when a guy like Barrow is available that late, I think you got to take him.
I probably am a little light on the DL, considering I ended up with 14 picks in this draft, especially as deep as this DL class is. I kind of went OL more that way.
Which is also makes sense.
Yeah, with 194, I stayed on the interior, man. I went with Clay Webb, the offensive guard. Aniston, Oxford, Alabama, stand up. Clay Webb, Jacksonville State, offensive guard. And here's another shocker for you, Ev. Prior to Jacksonville State, Clay Webb played at Georgia, SEC. I'm just working it. But Clay Webb, a guy that really flourished at Jacksonville State after making that move. I like him because he can play guard and center. And so, again, this late in the draft to get this kind of option, give it to me. Give me Clay Webb at 194. And then with my final pick at 221, this one was a head scratcher to me because I love this guy. When I saw he was available at 221 and he was down the list of what was available in the draft simulator, I went Montrell Johnson, running back from Florida. I went two backs.
Why not?
In this 14-man class. I got 14 picks.
Yeah.
I got to hit on one of them, I would think. Yeah. But Montrell Johnson, physically, everything, love this guy from Florida. And so that's my final selection there. And we didn't go Ashton Jeanty, I guess, at the running back position between us, Evan. But I feel like, you know, we both addressed it. And also the lines of scrimmage, which we've been told are priorities 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, I think both of our drafts I'd be happy with. You know, I like the idea of the focus being supporting Trevor. And, you know, while you need to do that with the offensive line, which we both did, I also like the fact that we got some weapons. You got 2 receivers and 2 running backs. So a little bit of a shotgun spread. But, I mean, you ought to be able to hit on something, right?
And a tight end. You got a tight end. Yeah. I got a tight end. Couple of wide receivers, couple running backs, interior OL, tackles.
Yeah, dude. I mean, when you have 14 picks, you ought to be able to address every single area, you know?
I don't know what Arizona and Cincinnati were doing. I mean, Cincinnati must have had the Jeanty Campbell
fever.
They really wanted big time. Yeah.
Hey, and that's something, you know, that I think if the Jaguars actually get in that position tonight/tomorrow that first round, before that fifth overall pick comes, I could see them moving back. I mean, if there are going to be some teams eager to get up, they're going to have to move probably a lot of spots. I don't see a lot of the teams, you know, if you want a quarterback, if you want Jeanty, like that fifth spot is now pretty valuable. So it'd be interesting to see what the Jags do.
Wasn't Brian Thomas Jr. 17 overall last year?
Yeah.
It's a lucky number. And they moved back to 17. I got the Jags moving back to 17, second straight year.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Tyler Booker. Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. The Trent Baalke pick.
Yeah.
For 2025. Yeah. There you go. Well, Ev, anything else you want to throw in here as we get ready? Green Bay, we got to get up there sometime, you and I. I went up there with Pops many years ago and watched in a December game that was 7 degrees outside. You didn't miss anything, I promise, especially as a younger lad. And we experienced kind of the same thing. We went to Pittsburgh when you were a little younger lad. I saw Byron Leftwich beat Brett Favre at Lambeau Field. Think about that.
Yeah, it's insane. that's the kind of trip you never expect to win. And then the come back from it with a W is pretty special. I wish that trip to Buffalo could have been the same thing.
That was not magical.
No,
the trip to Buffalo.
It was brutal and annoying.
I felt like we were abused in some ways.
Yeah, no, you know? It was
behavior was abusive. You know, yeah,
I was
Dom Tibbetts. If you're watching
Shout out to Dom. I know he's probably working hard before the draft tomorrow as well, trying to figure out who the Bills are going to take. One of the
classy folks in the greater Niagara Falls area.
Hey, Dom Tibbetts. You know, we love our plug up there. No, I don't have anything else to add other than that, except that I'm excited. You know, I love draft week every year and excited to kind of take another step closer to this next season. You know, we're still months and months away, but once you get done with the draft, you start to kind of feel it come into view. So it's a fun feeling.
It really is. And James Gladstone, here we go. James Gladstone,
so what you got, Tony Boselli,
Liam Cohen. Yeah, let's do it. Let's see.
Jimmy Gladstone and Tony Boselli. We gotta get the gabagool going a little bit.
Yeah. The triumvirate. We'll see what happens with the Jags coming up in the next couple of 3 days. Ev, it's been a lot of fun, my man.
Yes, it has.
For Evan Ryer, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for joining us right here on No Sleep Teal, part of the Ryer on YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed to our channel as of yet, go ahead and hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops here on the channel. And a thumbs up always helps us out tremendously as well. Also, thanks to Party Girl, presenting sponsor for No Sleep Teal. If you're in the Jacksonville area, 4205 St. John's Avenue, great, great stuff. Whether it's chicken salad, whether it's baked goodies, whether it's gift baskets, whether it's homemade to-go meals. I got them. I got you right here at Party Girl. For Ev, I'm Trav. Thanks again. Until next time. So long, everybody.